Thank you, preacher.
God bless you, brother. Bless your heart.
All right. Well, I sure did enjoy the singing.
Amen.
And, I mean, that was really good. And then I appreciate the invite to come. I've been here a long time ago, and I figured the reason I hadn't got to come back, I didn't do too good. And I hope I do better this time, but probably not. Amen. I live in Morristown, Tennessee, about 45 minutes from Pigeon Forge, an hour from Gatlinburg, Interstate 81, Exit 8. If you're ever down there on vacation and you want to go to church while you're there, most Baptists don't go to church on vacation, but if you're the exception of the rule, it's about 3 miles off of Interstate 81, north of Sevierville. Anyway, my boy's a pastor there. I have one son, only young, and we got he's a pastor there. And I'm not just saying he's a great preacher, and God's got his hand over it.
Amen.
But anyway, if you do, like, you know, want to visit while you're there, simple to find, simple, so simple. Faith Independent, White Pine, Tennessee. One red light, amen, hallelujah. And it's right past that red light, you can't miss it. You just put it in your phone and amen, you can get there. I'm just rambling right now, hallelujah. I married the same woman almost 45 years. It's a blessing, ain't it?
Amen.
I started getting saved, best thing ever happened to me is meeting my wife. And amen, she's been a lot better to me than I am to her. But. Appreciate the invite. I'm a little nervous for some reason. I guess the traffic.
Yeah.
Amen. My wife said, "You're so impatient." I said, "No, that guy up there is brain dead. Don't he know I'm headed to church to spread joy and cheer? Get out of the way, hallelujah. I got things to do." Anyway, so much for that. I'm trying to get going here. I'm going to read a few verses in Luke chapter 3, but I'm going to read also a verse or two in Isaiah chapter 40, and you can turn there if you want, but you'll see what I'm talking about when I read Luke chapter 3. But in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, the Bible said, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Amen.
Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough place is plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Then you look over in Luke chapter 3, you see the fulfillment of this prophecy here in Isaiah 40, Luke chapter 3, in verse 2. It says, "Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley should be filled, every mountain and hill should be brought low, and the crooked should be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" Father, I thank you, Lord, for traveling mercy to get here, that I was able to get here on time. Thank you for the wonderful place, the motel room, where it's been provided for me to stay. What a blessing, comfortable place such as that. Thank you for these folks sacrificed to make that possible. Thank you for Brother Randy for inviting me up here. Trust me. Now I pray, Lord, you'd help me like you did these ladies singing. You'd touch me like you did them. And Lord, I pray you give me liberty with these thoughts. Help me, Lord, as let the Holy Ghost work through me. Speak now to each one here. And we hope and pray that what we say is pleasing to thee. In Christ's name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Here in Luke chapter 3, you know, when you read about John the Baptist, you know, he He was a unique figure in the Word of God. He came in this world because of a miraculous miracle birth. Amen. His mom and dad, Zechariah and Elizabeth, was unable to have youngins. Amen. But as Zechariah served God in the temple, the angel Gabriel came to him and spoke to him and said that his wife was going to be with child. And we know that's so because John is that youngin. Amen. And you know, John's not the only miracle baby in the Bible, but he's somewhat unique in the fact that he was sent by God to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And here in this, in Luke chapter 3, as a fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah 40. And when you read this, you jump 30 years from the birth of John to the beginning of his ministry. And here is one of the sermons, you could say, he preached. And there's quite a bit here that you and I can learn from this portion of the scripture. Amen. And I'm not being irreverent or disrespectful to our God. I wouldn't want to do that. But I want to preach just a few minutes tonight on Jesus, the great equalizer. You know, when it comes to this thing of salvation, it's all level ground at the foot of the cross. Makes no difference what side of the tracks you're born on. You could drink your booze out of a martini glass at the country club or a brown paper bag up under these bridges. You're just a dirty sinner. Amen. Amen. And if you'll help me, I'll get going here maybe. But you know, it's level ground. When you read this, here seems what like geographical, but it's too graphic. One fellow said to be geographical. What John describes here is not physical, but it's spiritual. You know, the Lord's not a heavy equipment operator. He didn't come here to level out the mountains and fill in the valleys, literally. He's going to do that during the tribulation. Amen. But here, when you read this, God said, the Lord said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. That I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. So here, when you read this, there's a lot to teach us here. Simple thought tonight. You pray for me, that the Lord will help me. I don't know your heart tonight. Most likely most people here are saved. Amen. I don't know your heart. The Lord does. But saved or not saved, there's some things here you and I can glean from these few simple thoughts. Amen. And when it comes to this Jesus being the great equalizer, it's all level ground. And when you read this portion of scripture here, Jesus came to lift some people up. He came to bring some people down. And he came to straighten some people out. And he came to smooth some people over. Amen. He is the great equalizer when it comes to this thing of salvation. First of all, this evening, he came to lift up some people. He said every valley should be filled. John's message here opens to the lowly. Those down in the hole. Those down in the valley. Those sinners that's down there on the bottom and cannot get up on their own. Amen. Those that the world looks down on and thinks are a little better than the rest of us. Amen. Matter of fact, you know, God has the power to lift sinners up out of that hole they live in. I'm glad he came by one day, lifted me up out of that mess I was in. I couldn't get out even though I wanted out. But thank God he had the power to get me up out of that hole I lived in. Matter of fact, the first people that he announced where baby Jesus was, where God became flesh, amen, became flesh. He announced it to some shepherds on a hillside. The angels came and told them where the baby Jesus was going to be. And they believed and obeyed the words of them angels. They went and saw the baby Jesus, and they knew he was more than just a baby. They knew he was God in the flesh. And they believed and got saved, and God lifted them up, or he exalted him up out of that place of disgrace. Those shepherds weren't allowed to worship in the temple. They weren't allowed to witness in a trial. They were looked down by the society of their day. But thank God tonight, they're not down in disgrace now. They're part of the family of God. God has the power to lift a sinner up out of that hole of sin. In John chapter 4, Jesus must need go through Samaria. He didn't have to go that way to get to where he's going. And it seemed like he went out of his way. But he don't never go out of his way when it comes to reaching sinners. And he sat on a well waiting on this adulterous woman. She'd been married 5 times. Amen. And she was living with somebody then out of wedlock. I said that kindly. Amen. I cannot imagine being married 5 times. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My brother was married to 3 different women. Amen. If you put all of them's brain in a box and it was dynamite, it wouldn't blow the fuzz off a piece. Amen. I don't know where that fits her, but I ain't doing no good with the rest of it. Amen. But true, I can. Amen. All one's all I can handle. Am I doing any good right here? Some of y'all need to smile. That help me right here. But you know that old gal didn't go that well that day to get saved. She is hoping nobody. I'd be there. Amen. She didn't know he'd be there, but he knew she'd be there. Amen. We sing that song, when he's on the cross, eyes on his mind. I like that song, but it goes further back than that. Somewhere in eternity past, in the town council of the Holy God, amen, God looked down through time and saw this old gal stumbling around in her sin, and they didn't search all over heaven to find somebody to go. God had a plan to redeem sinful man before he ever made man. There was grace before there was guilt. And you didn't get in on this thing by accident. You didn't just walk in one day and trust Christ. You couldn't have got there if he hadn't been sitting there waiting on you. He knew you was coming before you knew his name. Hallelujah. Thank God Almighty. She said, sir, you have nothing to draw with. And from whence hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us his well and drank himself and his children and his cattle? He said, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of living water, springing up unto eternal life. And you know, she said, sir, give me this water. She said, you got nothing to draw with. And all the time, he was a drawing her to himself. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him. Hey, I wasn't looking for him that day when I staggered in Fairview Baptist Church, but he'd already come looking for me early that morning. He'd been dealing with me for a while. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I do now. That I was under such Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. I was ashamed of what it was. I was sick of what it was, but I didn't know what to do about it. But one day, thank God Almighty, he was sitting on that church that day at that church waiting on me. Same way was this old gal. And before she got done, she threw a water pot down, took the well to the house, said to the men of that city, come see a man that told me all things. Ever I did. Is this not the Christ? First thing you want to do when you get saved, tell somebody else about it. I don't have much confidence in folks that say they're saved ain't never told nobody about it. Amen. Amen. I don't buy a lottery ticket, but if I won one, amen, and won me a few million, I'd plead 1 John 1:9 and shout it on the rooftops. Hallelujah. Couldn't care what the brethren say. Amen. God probably wouldn't let me enjoy it, but I'd have it just for a minute. Am I doing any good right here? Amen. And some of y'all look like you're in the dentist's office. I'm not drilling teeth here. I'm trying to preach. Hallelujah. He delivered them shepherds from disgrace. He delivered this old gal in John chapter 4 from total depravity. Amen. Oh, blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the road begging. Amen. And Jesus passed by. If you're not saved, you're spiritually blind. If our gospel be hid, it said to them the lost, because the God of this world blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. You're in darkness. This book means nothing to you. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. You cannot understand it until God turns the light on and drives out the darkness down in your soul. Barnabas, he cried out. They started to shut him up, and he cried louder. And the Lord opened up his blinded eyes. I remember when I was in the dark, some around in sin, but I'm not in the dark now. I know what's going on. I got the light of God's word. Hallelujah. He'll show you the way. He'll show you the past. He'll show you the present, and he'll show you the end of this thing. Hey, thank God I'm not in the dark. Hey, amen. I don't have to watch Fox News to find out what's going on. They don't know what's going on anyhow. They just a bunch of Catholics with the gift of gab. How am I doing right there? We know what's going on. Them Arabs are not going to drive them Jews into no ocean.
Yeah.
It's going to get rough on them.
Yeah.
God's going to allow that to happen to them.
Yeah.
They're going to go through a terrible time during that tribulation.
Yeah.
That Antichrist is going to make Hitler look like a Sunday school teacher.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Amen. He murdered 6 million of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Not counting all the other people he caused to die in World War II.
Right.
Amen. He's a picture or type of the Antichrist, a modern picture of him. This man coming on the scene, those Jews are going to look like they're going to get wiped out, but except those days be shortened, no flesh will be saved. Amen. He's going to do that for the elect's sake. Amen. That's those Christians during that time, and that's also the remnant of them Jews. Am I doing any good here? Amen. I don't understand all that, but I'm not in the dark about it. And God's going to feed that bunch of Muslims to the buzzards. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, man, that went over real big. You say you love them. I have a hard time loving them. Hallelujah. Hey, don't look at me like that. Some of y'all don't even love y'all youngins. Amen. I'm trying to tell you, hallelujah. I'm just trying to say, hey, he delivered him from darkness. Amen. Mary Magdalene's full of demons. I met some of them. Some of them Baptists, ain't they? Hallelujah. The truth of the matter is, she had a real problem, but God was concerned. He cast the demons out of her, the devils out of her, and she's the first one that saw him when he resurrected. The Lord is concerned about demon-possessed people. And I really do, all joking aside, I do believe there's people demon-possessed. I believe there's people that's went a little further than our fallen Adamic nature.
That's right. Amen.
I believe they've opened themselves up to demons of hell because of drugs and alcohol and occult religion and all the other stuff. They've invited those demons in. Hey, man, if you do prison work, you'll know what I'm talking about. Hey, man, there's some folks, and I'm not no psychiatrist, and wouldn't give you a nickel for a saved one or a lost one. All they know, all they got to tell you, you need some antidepressants because you have a chemical imbalance. I knew I was out of balance before I ever met one of them. Ain't you? Hallelujah. And last thing I needed was dope. Amen. Amen. That's what that is, them antidepressants. We used to call them downers on the street. Amen. Some of you ladies taking diet pills, we call that speed. Amen. Say people don't take dope. Amen. Sinners take dope. Say people take medication. Same stuff, but you don't have to go to jail for it if you got a script for it. Am I doing any good right here? I'm trying my best. Hey, I have a little road rage and I'm trying to get over it. Amen. Hallelujah. And the truth of the matter is, hey, and there is people. You take old Melvin Biggs used to preach on death row in Stark, Florida, where they executed Bundy. Bundy murdered at least 100 women. Amen. He was demon possessed. Hey, somebody had a hold of him. Matter of fact, some of these crooked preachers on television, I actually believe some of them have a demon.
Amen.
They have no conscience,
right.
No conscience towards what they're doing,
right.
Lying and cheating and beating people out of their Social Security check with all that garbage. Amen. Am I doing any good right there? That ain't in the notes, but y'all ain't helping me much. I'm going to have to say anything. Amen. Amen. But old Bundy, he wanted Melvin to watch him die. And Melvin said, I watch a saved man die, but I'm not watching a sinner die. And Melvin was a decorated war, Vietnam, a Navy SEAL. He wasn't afraid of nothing. Amen. But he wasn't going to watch him. And he said at night you could hear Bundy back in the cell block sound like a pack of hyenas crying out, them demons screaming at him. They had to drag him to the death chamber. Amen. He told them if they let him live, he'd tell where another 100 bodies was. Amen. That's further than your Adamic sinful nature.
Amen.
That guy Dahmer, that sodomite up north that would kill them little sodomite boys and take their body, and I'm not trying to be gross, put their body parts in the refrigerator and eat them later. That's farther, that's over the hill from your fallen Adamic. That's demonic. Amen. But the Lord, he saves some folks sometimes. Amen. Mark chapter 4, Jesus got the disciples on the ship and said, we're going the other side. He went in the ship, went to sleep. Terrible storm blew up. Amen. And those disciples forgot the promise they're going to make it to the other side. Sometimes, you know, we forget we're going to make it to the other side. He didn't promise there'd be no storms on the way. But that ship couldn't go down as long as he's on board. He said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Hey, he moved in, never to move out. He's going to get us to the house. Amen. They woke the Lord up. That storm didn't shake him up. It didn't even wake him up. He rose up and said, why are you so afraid? How is you have no faith? Amen. In spite of the fact their faith was weak and their fear was highly exalted, Jesus said to the winds and the waves, peace, and there was a great calm. And then in Mark 5, they landed on the beach.
Yeah.
We call it the coast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. They get naked on the coast just like they get naked at the beach.
Yeah, amen.
Am I doing any good right there?
Yeah,
yeah.
Hey,
just some place that the man ought not go on the 4th of July.
Amen.
They don't wear enough clothes down there to cover a hummingbird.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Old Billy Mitchell said you couldn't clean a shotgun. Baptist folks, am I doing any good right there?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave that alone. But that old boy was demon-possessed. He wore no clothes.
Right.
We all know he's a picture of you and I before we got saved. He had no covering for his nakedness. You and I had... We had no covering for our sinful nature.
Yeah,
the Bible said he lived among the tombs, like to hang around dead people.
Yeah.
And you had the quickened who were dead in the trespasses.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. That's why I used to hang around dark places before I got saved.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Pool rooms, and beer joints, and dance halls, and gambling joints. Dark places.
Yeah.
That was my nature. I like to hang around other people that was in the dark.
Yeah. Amen.
Am I doing any good?
Yeah.
They lock him up. They fetters and bands. As soon as he made parole, amen, he break them bands like a dog going to his vomit and a sow that had been washed to water in his mouth. It's his nature. They're going right back at it.
Amen.
Right back at it. He's suicidal. The Bible said he cut himself.
Yeah.
He was somewhat like our day and time. He was the old local boy, the good old boy that you saw his name in the crime beat in the local paper about every other week. Amen. He couldn't really do no better. The devil had a hold of him. But when he met the Lord, when he met the good Lord, the Lord cast the devils out of him. Amen. Amen. Bible said they found him sitting clothed. He'd never been able to rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He had no peace, but when he met the Lord, he found a place of rest. And he was covered with clothes. God covered up his nakedness. That's what he done to me the day he saved me. He clothed me or imputed me with his righteousness. Washed my past sins, present sins, all my possible sins away. Baptized me by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, took up his abode in me, sealed me under the day of redemption, gave me eternal life. And when God sees me, he doesn't see me in my sin. He sees me as righteous and as clean as Jesus himself is. That's what he does when he saves a man. The Lord casts the devils out of him. First thing he won't do is follow the Lord. These folks that say they're saved don't want to follow the Lord. You've been deceived. It comes built in like headlights on a car.
Yeah.
You don't order them extra.
Amen.
There's some things built in. Before you know anything about the written word, when you get saved, the author of the written word moves in.
Amen.
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 Y'all know what headlights are for, don't you? For you can see in the dark.
Yeah.
Keep you in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Keep you out of the ditches.
Amen.
Keep you from running over somebody else.
Yeah.
Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say, you can't get right and not want to live right.
Amen.
What? Know you're not. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which is of God. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, spirit, which is God.
Yeah, right.
He takes up his abode. He's holy.
Yeah.
If you don't want to live holy, you can't get saved and not want to live holy.
Yeah.
Oh, we do a miserable job of it, but it's built in.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't live right, you ain't never got right. Because if you ever got right and you ain't right, you won't get right if you ever been right. Ain't that right? Well, sure that's right. See, it's not you. It's not that old man. It's that new man in you bringing this old man under subjection to the Word of God through the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, I want to go to you, Lord. He said, I want you to go tell. Some people you can tell. And in other places, I want you to go show. Some people will believe you. But your family that might have given up on you when you was out there living and they just got sick of you and give up on you, you're going to have to show them something.
Yeah, amen.
Am I doing any good right here?
Yeah, that's right.
Bible said he published it in Decapolis.
Yeah.
I read somebody's notes here. I'm not a Greek scholar. or a Hebrew scholar and couldn't care less. But this fellow said, that means 10 cities. This is my theology here. I might be wrong. Don't come to me after church with criticism. I can't take constructive or critical. Keep it to yourself, amen. I thought to myself, how did this man get to 10 cities? He didn't have a car. He didn't have a camel. He didn't have no clothes till God covered him up. He didn't have no cash, no doubt. You live like that, you broke. Maybe he didn't go to all of them. Maybe he just got credit for going to all of them. It's just my thinking. I mean, you know, you're allowed to do it. It's in the white part of the Bible. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he's going, one of his old naked running buddies, standing on the corner, still covered up with blood, his hair all matted up, standing there at the village gate, heard somebody coming up the road. Heard somebody, shackled by a heavy burden. Neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Maybe that old boy that cast the devils out was singing, had a Bible under his arm, all cleaned up and dressed up. And that old buddy said, hey, man, where have you been? What has happened to you? Let me tell you who I met down at the beach.
Amen.
Amen. It's just some thinking I do. I'd be amazed what one person can do.
That's right.
He told that old boy about what Jesus done for him. He got saved. That's two. Them two told two more. That's four. Them four told four more. That's eight, 16, 32. 64, and that's the first I went to school. My grandma couldn't read or write. She was illiterate. She didn't know how to drive. Really a backward kind of mountain lady. There been nowhere. I've been to 50 prisons in 1 year. I've been to prisons in foreign countries. I preached all over this country in churches. She's never been there. But if she hadn't told me about him, he said he published it in the cover. Everywhere my grandma, everywhere I've been, my grandma's been. Hallelujah. Hey, I got ahead of myself here. That's all right anyhow. Amen. Amen. Well, that may not be so, but it's a pretty good thought, ain't it? Amen. I do get one of my own every now and then. Hallelujah. Amen. He cast the devils. He delivered me from deceit.
Amen.
As a boy, about ever, even lost heathen people down south, or from south, had a large King James Bible on their coffee table as a boy. A lot of them did. We did. Nobody read it. We didn't know what it meant. My dad was a drunkard, and he's the roughest sinner you ever meet. You drop cigarette ashes on that Bible, or you spilled anything on it, he'd slap you cross-eyed for being disrespectful to holy things. We knew there. I knew there was something to this book. I'd just be a smart aleck sometimes. I'd say, that's just a book. Wrote like any other book by man. Well, sure, it's wrote by man. You don't think a mule would write it, would you? I mean, you know, but too many. I believe this man, Jesus, was God, as I said. I knew that. I'd go to church sometime at Christmas. I believed in the virgin birth, but I didn't know what it meant. I believe he bodily resurrected when I was a rank sinner, shooting dope my arms, snorting up my nose, and drunk every day. I knew this man, Jesus, was God. Amen. But I was deceived. I didn't understand what it all meant. I'm not in the dark, and I'm not deceived tonight. Am I doing any good here?
Amen.
I'm glad he lifted me up.
Yes, sir.
Hey, might not be much to you, but I'm something to him. I'm part of his family. Hey, thank God Almighty. God does that. You can't get up on your own. You can't get up. No man, no difference how good you think you are. You're just down in that hole with the rest of us. Amen. I got a long way to go, so y'all might as well help me here, Ellen.
Amen. Amen.
You ain't helping me much. I'm chasing every rabbit I see run by. He came to lift some people up. He came to bring some people down. Every mountain and valley, every mountain and hill should be brought low. It speaks about those full of pride. Amen. We all got too much pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and the Holy Spirit before fall. There's some good pride. There's some good pride. It's good having enough pride to take a bath every day.
Amen.
Everybody around you appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's good pride to brush your teeth at least twice a day. I know they appreciate that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with putting a crease in your pants. That's not vain. That's just, I don't know even what word you'd call it. There's nothing wrong with that. Am I doing any good? A little snag right there.
Amen.
I try to shine my shoes. I gave a lot of money for them. Amen. I try to keep them up. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Amen. One fellow said, "You're vain." I said, "Well, you're a slob." Amen.
Yeah.
I had a tender moment right there. Hallelujah. But the truth is, there's nothing wrong with that kind of pride, trying to carry yourself. We are ambassadors for Christ.
Right.
And I ain't saying that to be mean, but we all got too much pride.
Yeah.
Let the brother low degree rejoice and exalt in the rich be low. As the flower of the grass, he shall pass away.
Yeah.
My brother, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the respect of person. For if thou come in your assembly, a man with a gold ring, goodly apparel, come in also a poor man in vile raiment, have respect to him where at the gate clothed, and say him, sit thou here in a good place, say the poor, stand there, or sit here in my foot. Are you not then partial yourself and become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my brother, have not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom which he promised them, but you despise the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name which you're called? If you fulfill the royal law according to scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you have respect to person, commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressor.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get this little air about us,
yeah,
like we think we're better than somebody.
Yeah.
We're not no better.
Amen.
Amen. Church is made up of all kinds of people. Amen. Well, I'm not going to be ugly there. I ain't getting no help here. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to tell you that the perfect example of pride is Luke 18 with that Pharisee and that publican.
Yeah.
Amen. That Pharisee bragged about himself and talked about how great he was. And he wasn't like this publican. Amen. But that publican was bothered by sin. He humbled himself, said, "God, have mercy to me, a sinner." The publican went away justified. The Pharisee went away dignified. The publican went away forgiven. The Pharisee went away food. The publican walked away saved. The Pharisee walked away stubborn. The publican walked away with redemption. The Pharisee walked away with religion. One went home saved that day, and the other died and went to hell. And it's all because of pride. Too much pride. Amen. God knows how to get that out of you. Amen. You know, sometimes that rich young ruler came to the Lord and said, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He named six commandments. He said, "I've observed these from my youth up." He said, "One thing thou lackest, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, take up thy cross and follow me." And he went away sorrowful, for he had much riches. Sometimes, you know, when you get a lot of money, nothing wrong with money. Now, don't get me wrong. Somebody said, "Money don't make you happy." I said, "How come everybody ain't got nothing miserable?" It will make your day a little brighter, you have to admit. Amen. You know what I'm saying? But the truth of the matter is, some folks, they get to doing a little better and getting to, you know, move out of the holler, move up on the hill. Amen. And quit driving that car that killed all the mosquitoes when they was younger. Now they roll and they get this little air about it.
Amen.
Is this going anywhere?
Amen.
You know, we sometimes we say, they forgot their raising. I know where I was at when God found me. I didn't have a car. I didn't have $5 in my name. If it hadn't been for my grandma and grandpa giving me a bed and a bowl of beans, amen, a bed to sleep in, I've been sleeping in a ditch sometime. I know where he found me.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not trying to be smart here. It's coming out wrong, but I don't mean to be. You got to watch that stuff. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm for education. If I was you, I'd get all I could. Try to get the best job I could get. Make it as easy as possible on me, whatever. But you got to watch that. Amen. I've run around some preachers said, amen. And they were great preachers. How you know? Because they said they was.
Yeah.
Because they got a little title in front of their name.
Yeah, sir.
Amen. And I'm not down in education. Don't get me wrong. Amen. I didn't get enough myself, but I have been through Bible school and all that. And I was 19 years old before I finished high school because I quit three or four times. And I tried to go to school a little bit, but I was lost in sin then and couldn't keep up because I'm not trying to be ugly here, but you got to watch that business.
Yeah.
I've had to come up, you know, and some preachers that do that way.
Yeah.
Some of the greatest preachers I've ever known never even finished hardly high school, let alone going somewhere else. But they're full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the Holy Ghost if I couldn't even write my name. I'd rather have the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They say, well, I have a PhD. Well, I got a BLT from Mackey D's. Big deal. Amen. You got to watch that stuff. Amen.
Yeah.
It'll puff you up. Make you think you're doing just a little slicker than everybody. Am I doing any good right here? Amen. I've been around and we all get a little puffed up sometimes thinking we're something. We ain't nothing. Amen. I heard this. If a person, Proverbs 29:1 said, he that been often proved and hardeth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed and that without remedy. In other words, he's been often proved. He's been dealt with, kept getting more pride, hard-hearted. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I heard this. I don't know if I read or heard it. If you're not saved by the time you're 30, there's 1 in 15,000 chances. 1 out of 15,000 chances you'll get in. I don't know where they get them figures. I don't. I just know somebody somehow. No, there's calculated that stuff. So it means the older you get past 30, the harder you get.
Yeah.
I was in a meeting over here at Oceana, West Virginia, not long ago. And I was preaching, and y'all still out there, I'm trying to hurry. I really don't usually take this long, but it's hard to plow the mule if you ain't got no help here, right? Amen. But I was over there, and I was about to shut down the service for that night because I preached mostly to saved people. And then it seemed like God impressed me. Give an invitation. I said, hey, there may be somebody here tonight. There may be somebody here that's not saved. And this old man, 82 years old, stood up and said, I'm not saved. I want to get saved. You don't see that very often. And when he got up off his knees, he said, I felt like this building's being lifted off me. 82 years of that misery without God, I guarantee he felt the load lift off him. Amen. Am I doing any good right here? Well, let me move on here. I've said enough on that. Kill what meeting we're having. Hallelujah. Amen. I just say all that stuff. I'm enjoying myself. Some of y'all ain't, but I'm having a pretty good time. Hallelujah. I drank some coffee earlier today you could paint a fence with. Hallelujah. If you can't get the Holy Ghost on you, drink some of that. Amen. That'll help you fake it a little while. Anyhow, I'm just trying to have a good time here. He came to lift some people up. Came to bring some people down. He came to straighten some people out. He said the crooked should be made straight. Crooked. That's the whole human race. We're crooked. We've been bent towards sin since we come from our mother's womb. We say this all the time. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. It's your nature. You just bent that way. And I know some express their sinful nature more vulgarly and ugly than others, but we're all bent. You cannot.
Amen.
You cannot straighten out that bent part of you. Don't make no difference how you try. I think it's Luke 13. Luke 13. Bible said this woman, the devil had bowed her over, bowed her together. Not just bowed over, but bowed together. Her head was almost down with her feet. For 18 years, she was bowed over. All she could see was the dirt. All she could see was the ground. She could never see God's glory. She could never see God's deity. And she hobbled. If she went two times a week to that synagogue, that place of worship, for 18 years, it's almost 1,900 times. Amen. It was the last time the Lord was going to go in this synagogue. It was her last time to get straightened up. If you're not saved tonight, it may be your last opportunity to get straightened up. And no doubt, she was embarrassed. I remember that morning I got saved. I was bowed over. The devil had me bowed over. They'd say, David, you need need to quit cussing, quit smoking, quit doping, and get a job, go to church and do better. Well, that sounds good. But the Bible said she could not lift herself. I wanted to straighten up. I got so sick of the dirt. I wanted to, preacher, but I could not straighten up. I'm glad that morning I staggered in that church, all bowed over, looking at the filth and the dirt. I was sick of it. I couldn't see the Lord, but He saw me. He saw her. She couldn't see Him. And then He called her. And then He touched her. And the Bible said she immediately straightened up. That's what God does. It's not a 12-step through the AA. It's not a detox at some drug ward. It's not some psychiatrist leading you the right way. When He saves a man, He's straightening him right up. That don't mean he won't get bent a little bit along the way. Amen. When he gets straightened up, he won't be happy until he's walking upright, straight, and try to live holy. Am I doing any good here? You can't get saved till you get sick of the dirt. You can't straighten up no matter how hard you try. Amen. You can join all the do-good clubs, help all the lame, the maimed, blind, crippled, whatever. You can do all, get your little ring and brag about it. Whatever you want to do, you still just bowled over. Amen. I'm doing it good. Hit a little snag on that one. Hallelujah. Amen. Then last of all, and I know you're glad I got there. You get up here and look at this crowd, I'd be glad. You'd be glad too. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he came to smooth some people over. He said the rough way should be made smooth. There's some folks a little rougher than others. You know what I mean? Even also, there's some of this even rougher. Yeah. Oh, Simon Peter. I like Simon Peter. Yeah. I liked him when he cut that man's ear off.
Yeah.
That's my kind of Christianity right there.
Yeah. Amen.
He loved the Lord then,
yeah, right.
But he's going about it expressing it wrong.
Yeah. Amen.
He meant to cut that man's head off, probably.
Yeah. Amen. That's
right. Yeah. I don't think I've read nowhere where that man, when God fixed his ear, got saved. See, you're not saved by a miracle or a sight. You're saved by faith.
Amen.
Oh, Simon. Oh, Simon's always sticking both feet in his mouth like I do a lot. Bragging and running his mouth. And, but you know, he was one of the closer ones to the Lord in spite of his roughness. He said, I'll go to jail with you. I'll die for you, Lord. He said, Simon, Satan desired to sift you as wheat. In other words, the devil's going to try to shake everything in you that's any good, shake it out.
Amen.
He said, but I pray that thy faith fail not.
Yeah.
Not your good works, but thy faith fail not.
Amen.
He said, you're going to deny me three times. When I need a friend the most, you're not just going to let me down one time a day, but you're going to let me down three times in the same day.
Amen.
But when you hear that rooster, you know, if you're saved, I don't care how backslid you are. You know, he's warming his hands by the fire of the enemy, following the Lord afar off. Everywhere he went, he's one of them.
Yeah, that's right.
That's one of them right there. If you got the real thing, you can't hide it.
Amen.
It shows up on you no matter what.
Amen.
Another said, that's him. He's one of them.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's him, and he got to cussing.
Yeah. Right.
It's pretty rough, ain't it?
Yeah.
And he heard that rooster. Not a hen.
Amen.
It wasn't Joyce Myers.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to teach her how to wear her lipstick.
Amen.
She looked like a joker. Had another tender moment right there. Amen. He wept bitterly. On the day of Pentecost, God smoothed that old boy out. He preached on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 got saved. It's rough. There's some other people in the Bible rough. I don't know, maybe Brother Randy, you've been in church all your life since you was a kid. Have you? You get saved real young. Your mom and dad, godly people, church going people. So when you got saved, raised in that atmosphere, you already knew a lot of things as a sinner boy. But when you got saved, it was a pretty smooth, I hope it sounds right. You already knew a lot of things. You already had that foundation. It's kind of you had to get saved just as much as same way I did, but it was a little smoother transition for you because you'd been around all people that'd been living, trying to live holy and godly And they've been pumping that in you from birth.
Yeah.
Like my son, he's been in church all his life. He's never been out here. He's much of a man. He's not a sissy. He don't wear skinny jeans. Nothing like that. He's a man. He's a man.
Amen.
He ain't never been out here. Only thing he knows about how rough the rest of us was is what I've told him or somebody else in the family. I'm not disrespecting my mom and dad, but they were drunkards. And they got divorced, separated when we was kids. We scattered. I moved up in Cleveland, Ohio in the 50s to work at my dad, the Ford Motor. And I'd go down to Tennessee every summer, stay with my grandma and grandpa. My grandpa made moonshine liquor and he'd get drunk on it, made him a real violent man. And he'd beat my grandmother up and she'd get drunk on that stuff to put up with him. And I'm not going to find see him, but I've actually seen him so drunk he couldn't get up off the floor. Raised in that, it's pretty rough, ain't it? When I was 14-year-old, my grandpa in a drunken rage and out of his mind on that moonshine whiskey, and my grandma was, he beat her up, and anyway, it was ugly, an ugly day. I made the mistake when I was 14-year-old, lost boy, dirty mouth, chip on my shoulder, bitterness in my heart, mad at the world, whatever you want to call it. I sized him and I used some cuss words. And I talked back to him and he said he's going to whoop me. And when he whooped you, it was really rough. It was wrong. And I said, old man, you're not whooping me no more. That's a pretty good sized boy. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, boy. You cuss me, I'm going to do like I would a man. I'll just shoot you. And my grandma said, run, David, run. And I run out behind the house and run up in these woods. And my grandpa shot me with a 12-gauge shotgun. Left me laying in a patch of woods up behind his house. I never did size him again. That was a little extreme, but it worked. But to make a point here,
amen.
He had a lot of money. I could have sued him, took all his money. And my dad was up in Ohio, and he said, I'm coming down there, I'm going to kill that old man. And I said, I'm all right. It's just this bird shot, Dad, and scared me more than it hurt me. I bled real bad. It's a pretty frightening thing for a 14-year-old boy. The sheriff said, we're going to have the state prosecute him. I said, you can't prosecute him if I don't witness or testify against him. If that's my boy, I'd make him. As my mom said, you can't make him do nothing. He won't do nothing. I said, that's my paw. I'm not putting my paw in jail. Am I doing any good here?
Yeah.
Police looking for him everywhere. I watched my grandma. She was still about half drunk. I watched her slip out the door. Everybody come to get me from up in Ohio to pick me up. And I watched her slip up through this field, pouring down rain. My grandpa been shot in the face. He had one eye, had a gold-plated tooth. And anyway, anything struck him just right, that tooth would shine. I walked up behind him, and it's pouring down rain. He's sitting under this tree, hid from the police. And I said, hey, Paul. And he turned around weeping. And he said, David, I'm so sorry. So sorry for what I've done. That's pretty rough, ain't it? A few days later, though, him and my mom visit Fairview Bible Baptist Church. When they come home that day, throw the liquor out the door.
Amen.
Put the shotguns up in the closet.
Yeah.
Started going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night.
Amen.
He came to smooth some people out.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Pretty rough.
Yeah.
But he knows how to knock the rough edges off.
Yeah. Amen.
Something happened to him down there.
Yeah.
I live with him, amen. And yeah. They put up with me. I grew up, I was strung out on dope. They put up with me. My aunt shot my brother with a .38 pistol, standing up above my brother, shot him, went through both his lungs, and they called me tonight. I was preaching in. They said, David, your brother's bleeding to death out here in the driveway. And the doctor said he ain't going to make it to mercy room, but he made it. It's pretty rough, ain't it?
Yeah.
That's what we was raised around.
Yeah.
That's just the way it was. Just sinners doing what sinners do.
Yeah.
Same brother took a pocket knife and cut me across my gut. Here I had to hold my intestines in. That's pretty rough, ain't it?
Yeah.
You know, in spite of all that, we still ate Thanksgiving dinner together. You know why? Because we're family.
Yeah.
You know, folks around a Baptist church can get rough about a little something means nothing. Yeah. Won't talk to you for 6 months.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, we're family. Hey, man, we're going to spend eternity together.
Amen.
Why waste your life here with bitterness and unforgiveness and being aggravated? Hey, we're family.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that, but rough.
Yeah.
That same old man that shot me, He said that he never could rightly divide a lot of Bible. He wasn't doctrinally straight on a lot of stuff. But he got saved. He'd sit at the kitchen table and read the Bible. I'd come in there as a sinner, and he'd say, you wouldn't know what that means, do you? Well, I didn't know what none of it meant. But you know, the Lord was smoothing him out. He said, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. That don't mean everybody's going to get saved. But when you've been on the bottom, you've been down in the hole of sin, and God's life lifted you up, and you singing in the choir, people can see it.
Yeah. Amen.
When you've been strutting around full of pride and thought you were somebody, and God knocked the props out from under you, and you realize you're just one of us.
Yeah.
You can see that.
Amen.
When you've been so crooked, you know, I had some family members. They'd give you shirt off their back, but one reason it wasn't theirs, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, just crooked. They cross their heart, hope to die, poke a finger in my eye, scouts around her. I'll pay you this $20 next week. You can forget it.
Yeah.
It ain't coming. Just so they're so crooked, when they died, you could twist them in the ground.
Yeah.
But when they get saved, amen, and God straightens them up.
Yeah.
Amen. And they go around paying their bad debts. There's some things you can't fix it all, but bad debts, you got to get that straightened out. Am I doing any good here?
Yeah.
And when they've been so rough, old vulgar mouth, wicked, drunken sinners, and you see God, Jesus, David, when he fought Goliath, he went over in that brook, got five smooth stones out of that brook. You know why? That water's been running over them. The water of God's word will smooth you out. You don't have to cram Jesus down everybody's throat, but they'll see it if you've been rough, and they see you smooth out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to shut up, amen, but... Amen. I think, was it Mark chapter 2? Them four men brought that crippled man. Couldn't get in because of the press. Amen. They went up on the roof, tore the roof off, and lowered that old man down, that old boy through the roof in presence of Jesus. And Jesus looked up and saw their faith. See, faith is something you can see.
Amen.
You get saved by faith, but real faith, people can see it. Amen. Can anybody see in your life that you have the real thing?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't know if that's helped anybody or not.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, I'm glad God got me out of that mess, ain't you?
Right.
You say, what do you do in prison, Epps? I just go and tell him what God done for me.
Yeah.
He straightened me up and smoothed me out some. I'm still a little rough around the edges, I admit, but I'll tell you what, I'm glad he got by one day and got me out of that filthy hole.
Amen.
I'm glad he saved my wretched soul. You come on, preacher. I'm done. I've said too much, too long. Come back tomorrow. It won't be no better, but come back anyhow. Hallelujah. Help us out.